You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Relationship Talk with Clement Maniatela.
All right, so on our relationship feature today, we are talking about finding love and navigating a relationship in your, say, late 30s, 40s, 50s, and older. Apparently, it's not that easy to get back into the world of dating when you are in that age group. So what are the things to consider when trying to find love and when navigating a relationship at that age? How do you navigate that new partnership when you have a busy life? Because the thing about being in your late 30s, 40s, 50s is a lot has changed in your life. You may be coming from a marriage. You may be coming from another relationship. You may have kids. You may meet someone with kids. Right? You may have a bigger responsibility at work. So the life may be busy. So there are many considerations you need to make. And there's often even judgment when you go on dating sites, when you are in that age group. If you're single and you're over 40, there are also chances that people are giving you unsolicited dating advice because, you know, sometimes you're not even desperate or at a point where you are ready for a partner. You're just taking it easy. But there's this pressure from people about, oh, why don't you go out with my cousin? Or why don't you try this? Or maybe the next time you're in a relationship, this is what you need to do. And I can only imagine how irritating that can be. So what do you need to know about starting a relationship when you are in that grade, in that age group? Late 30s, 40s, 50s, and older. I want to know what your experiences are. So give me a call. 011-883-0702. How have you navigated it? How did you get back into the dating game if you are in that age group? And maybe you're single now and you know how difficult it is when you are in your 40s, in your 50s to find the right person. How difficult is that? And if you found the right one, how are you navigating it? Because sometimes there are different interests. How are you navigating that? I want to hear what your experiences are. Give me a call. Send me a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or an SMS on 31702. Leah Sefo is a relationship coach who's going to guide us through this discussion. Leah, thank you so much for making time. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Clement. Nice to be here.
Is it that difficult to get back into this world of dating when you are in those late 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s?
It really is. It's very hard for almost everybody. And I think you're just coming with a lot of very high expectation. You know, you've been through a few relationships now by this age. You're less willing to spend longer time trying to connect with somebody. You want what you want and you want it quicker. And you're picky. You're very picky as you get older because you just know what doesn't work for you. You know what you don't want. And the thing of being in your 30s, 40s and over is that you're now experienced in relationship with yourself and you're less tolerant, you know, of putting up with behaviors that maybe in your 20s you would have worked through. But as you get older, like you've already said, there's so much else going on in your life with work, with children, with family that, you know, your energy is not limitless. You have very kind of limited energy to commit or give to another person. So you feel that it needs to be worth it.
Isn't that part of the problem though, Leah? The fact that there are these high expectations, you are picky and maybe rightly so, because I mean, in your 20s, in your early 30s, you've done the dating thing and you know exactly what you want. You are less tolerant. So sometimes when you're so rigid in this kind of way in your approach, then it really becomes difficult because you're not just, you know, and I'm not saying you must let your guard down, but sometimes just go into it and go with the flow. Or is that not the way to go at that age group?
No, I agree with you completely. I think people get too stuck in their ways.
Yeah,
That's also you only operating one way in a relationship. You know, you've been with one person for a while. It didn't work out. Maybe you broke up. Maybe there's been a divorce. But, you know, relationships is about always exploring different versions of yourself. You know, it's not just being the same all the time for the rest of your life. So You've got to have fun. You need to lighten up. You have to explore, get out of your comfort zone. And don't be so strict, because you might lose a really amazing relationship because you're so focused on your bullet point list of what you're looking for, that someone amazing can come along, and because they don't fit that picture, they're just going to slip through your fingers. So yeah, you've got to be a little bit more flexible and open. But obviously, at the same time, you know, it's a very it's a tight line to walk, because you want to be flexible and open and explorative, but you also really want to have clear boundaries from the beginning, so that red flag behaviors aren't escalating as you're dating. So it's a very tough line to walk.
So how do you navigate that? What are the things to consider? Because what I'm picking up from you is there must be a balancing act. So on the one hand, don't compromise yourself. You know what you want. And stick to that, but at the same time, just don't be too rigid. Like, just live and allow yourself to explore.
Look, I think we have core, absolute core values that are really important for us, and on those we can never compromise. And in the very beginning, you can pick up very quickly whether you align with somebody in terms of your value systems. It's things like, what do you believe? What language do you find workable or unworkable? What are your worldviews? And those, you know, you'll discuss a lot of in the beginning of dating. So I'm not saying that if you have a difference of opinion or you have different worldviews, you can't date. Of course you can. It makes for much healthier conversation. But deep values is what determines what love is for you. So when we talk about what finding love, that's also quite a concept. What does love actually mean for you? Because what it means for you is not what it's going to mean for somebody else. So make sure you know what you are looking for. Be clear about that up front. The minute some behavior happens that makes you feel uncomfortable, you know, speak to the person and say, you know, you don't know me that well yet. You've just said something or behaved in a way that's kind of triggered me a bit. I'd love to, you know, talk to you a bit about that and what that means for me. It doesn't always have to be heavy, hard conversations, but they do have to be addressed. But, you know, if somebody, you know, wants you to take a risk or try something you've never tried before, or go somewhere you've never been before, don't play it so safe. You know, be willing to get out of your comfort zone, but not if it's really, if they're asking you to compromise a core value or a core belief that's really, a foundational way of your life, then that's going to be a problem.
Should you state your expectations from the beginning, Leah? In other words, here's someone you're meeting, you really like them, you're falling in love. Should you sit them down and say, okay, I don't have the time I used to have in my 20s or early 30s where we go with the flow and we wait after 3 months until we identify what this thing is? Or, I mean, could that be one of the ways where you put someone off? Or is it better to just know from the beginning, what are we doing here? Are you able to give me what I'm looking for? Am I able to give you what you're looking for? And are we aligned? And if not, I don't want to have my heart broken. Let me rather walk away.
Yeah, to be honest, most people I know who I work with in their 30s and 40s and beyond actually really value those very honest conversations up front. You know, when you're in your 20s and you're exploring and you're having fun, you do want to be flexible and you don't want to be so serious and not really looking for heavy commitment yet. But, if, you know, by the time you're getting towards your 40s, you know what you want. So I think it's not first date conversations. But like you say, once you
don't even know my name and you want to know what we are doing.
Exactly. It's not like an interview on the first on the first date. But I think once you've been on a few dates and you really have a feeling that this is a connection that you're both, you know, committing to, then it's the time to sit down and go, okay, both of us have been through previous relationships where things didn't work. So let's put that all on the table. What is it that doesn't work for you about, you know, communication, about sex and intimacy, about handling finances, about family and friendship groups? There's a whole lot of areas that make up a relationship. And when couples work with me, we go through all of those areas because, you know, people don't know the questions to ask. They don't know what to discuss. And then suddenly something is a problem. You want to address it and your partner goes, well, this has never been a problem for you before. Why is this an issue now? So I think it's doing a real 360 view of how a relationship will impact every area of your life. And then sitting with this person you're dating and saying, okay, how do you feel about this? And I would choose one area for one conversation, not necessarily sitting there and going through everything in one conversation. But money is a big one. What does money mean? You know, what are your plans for the future? How do you approach saving and investing? Are you in debt? That is a critical one. And people never want to talk about this because they think that's such a rude question. But let me tell you, if you're getting serious with someone in your 40s and you are creating a life together, the debt is going to become an issue in the relationship down the line. So these are really necessary conversations to have upfront so you know what you are getting in for and that there's no hidden agenda here.
What about having fun, Leah? Because there are people who are in their 40s, when they're in their 50s, who are like, contrary to popular belief, I actually don't even want like a serious thing. I just want to have fun. Yeah. But there's often judgment that comes with that. It's like, oh my God, are you really not committing? You're okay with just having fun in your 40s? I mean, is that fine? Is that allowed for someone who's in that
Absolutely.
Age group?
Oh, and I wish more people would do it. I think people get way too serious about relationships. And, you know, nobody has to be in a relationship. This is the bottom line. You know, it's not a life requirement. If you have fun and you are enjoying being single and having great experiences, that's fantastic. You know, there's not some rule book. I think we're living in a time, Clement, where we are really throwing out the rule book of the way we've always done life.
Yes.
And really reframing what does education mean? What does life mean? What does work mean? And what does relationship mean? So the old rules of, you know, you have to date and then you've got to get engaged and then you must get married and then you must have kids and then buy the car and do the house. And this whole linear way of being in relationship is something that doesn't work for people. And if you look at the high rate of divorce, it's not a workable way. So we play, have fun, bottom line is do what works for you, you know, and if your family have an opinion about it, tough. It's not them in relationship. So they just want you to be happy. That's the bottom line. They think if you are in a relationship, you will be happy. And you need to just teach them that you really are happy by not walking this picture that they wish for you.
Exactly.
But you know, everybody's going to have an opinion about what you should do with your life always.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's got nothing to do with them. You must do what you need to do.
Yeah, and do what works for you. I remember watching this movie of this couple that was having so much fun. And I just don't remember the name of the movie. I'll try to remember it now. They were having so much fun. And when they were dating, and because of societal expectations, they decided to get married. It's not really what they wanted, but family pressure, societal pressure. And as soon as they got married, they had kids, their life sucked. They were so boring towards each other and to a point where they had to sit down. And the wife said, honestly, you are not the man I fell in love with. I want to go back to that. That man, this family setup thing where the whole life is structured. This is how we do. Wake up, take the kids to school, do this for me. That doesn't work for me. And only after they had that conversation and they had to change things around, did they go back to where they were so much in love. Because sometimes we get boiled down to, even when you are married, this is how things are supposed to be. You can't have the fun anymore. You can't go with your husband or your wife to go have like some cocktails one Friday night. Eh? Why can't you do that? And like you say, Leah, sometimes we do things that society has said this is how they must be done, even though they're not working for us. I want to take some calls now on 011-883-0702. Jeffrey in Pretoria, good morning. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, Clement. Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening to your shows every day, and today you have hit my head very painfully. That's why I called you.
What touched you?
I'm 57, right?
Yeah.
And from the beginning, you know, I was born in a very poor family. Coming into working relation, I got my work and went on. But my vision was to open my own business because when I think about my parents worked and I didn't see any progress they made. So I opened my own little business and went on. And in the middle, I just said, okay, my business is doing well. Let me have a family, because if you do have a business and then you don't have families, like you've got nothing. Then you go on with that, but you got a wrong woman, then we just departed. And then later on, I got the other one, we departed. This is the third house now I'm losing, and then I divorced in 2017, married in 2013. Now I'm just a single person, and then I'm trying to look for a relationship.
What's difficult, Jeffrey? What do you think is the reason you're not finding the right one?
You know, to be honest with you, Clement, I'm very unlucky with women. Once I get a woman, then I realize there's some lot of things we don't connect, and there's witchcraft taking place and all this stuff. And then you just avoid it, and then you go to the next one, you get the same thing. I go to the next one, I get the same thing. So this is basically what is happening about my life. I just sometimes feel like, you know what, it's like I've got something. I'm a spiritually rich person, and people see potential in a spirit. But now, at the moment, the level where I am, I'm just looking at somebody who can match my mind. But now, the only thing that I'm getting right now, I'm getting a lot of ladies that are basically not connecting with me. They've got their own visions that I've got. I'm running my own business. I'm looking at my own business to survive. And then you find that this person that you are with, she's just enforcing to be with you. Although you tell her that, you know what, I'm coming from a different and a very difficult kind of life. So why don't we just, you just feel like you want to separate with her peacefully because you know where you're coming from.
Jeffrey, do you
same kind of people?
Yeah. So Leah said earlier, Jeffrey, that not everybody has to be in a relationship. Does it mean that much to you that you must be with someone and be committed to this one person, live with them, or even be married to them? Is that what you really want?
Clement, basically, it's not basically what I want. The marriage, I don't know what. Well, how can I put it? But what I was looking at, the point where you end up having some 8 years without a family. So if you rent to that level without a family, then you've got your money.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Jeffrey. So Leah, thank you for calling, Jeffrey, and I'm really wishing you the best in finding the right person. And don't put pressure on yourself. Leah, I worry sometimes that we put so much pressure on ourselves because we want to have a family at a specific age. I mean, Jeffrey says he's worried that, you know, he doesn't want to be 80 one day and he doesn't have a family. But there are also other ways to have a family. Like, there are many other ways you can have children without necessarily getting into a relationship that you are not invested in, a marriage where you are not in love, just because you are so married to this idea of having these three kids and having this mom. There are many other ways you can still have that without putting yourself through what you don't want.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think people get too hooked up in these pictures, and what ends up happening is they put up with toxic relationships, unhappy marriages, just to have the picture. And then now you've got children being brought up in a home with unhappy parents who are in an unhappy relationship. And it's like a cycle that goes on. And I agree with you. There are other ways that you can be involved or feel that you can contribute to somebody else's life, a child's life, and have children that doesn't fit the traditional way. Now, if I was hearing correctly, he's on, you know, already been through three wives. And that also tells me that there's not taking time to really get to know a woman, in his case, before the marriage is happening. Because everything is perfect and everything's wonderful in the honeymoon period for the first 3 to 6 months. That's never the time that you should be engaged or getting married. You know, you've got to at least be with someone for a good year, maybe having lived with them for a while, to explore all of their habits, to explore all of who they are, to really know if there actually is a connection here. And people move way too fast, which is something to look out for if you're dating, you know, in your 40s, especially 50s. There's this feeling that time is running out, which it isn't, and that you've got limited time to quickly get together with somebody. So you rush too fast, and in the rushing, you are overlooking some very critical behaviors that are going to end up ending the relationship. So take time. It's, you know, if this relationship is that important to you, take the time first.
Exactly. In fact, someone sent a message here Says, hi, Clement. Kindly inform Jeffrey that I'm here. I've been waiting for this type of a person and trusting relationship or long-term partnership. Get ready. Please connect us and keep me anonymous. I'm putting Jeffrey back to the producers. Jeffrey will just advise. Jeffrey, if you'd like us to connect you to this listener who says you sound like you what? She's really been waiting for you. You'll just indicate so. So, Sia, you can take Jeffrey back. Let's go to Lungi in Rosettenville. Lungi, good morning.
Morning, Clement. Oh, okay. No, I also feel that it is very difficult to get love at old age.
Yeah.
I turned 50 last year. And my husband passed on in 2011. Okay, I know I took a long time because I was raising my children. I was concentrating on them and all that. I realized because my daughter now is at varsity, you know, she is not there. You know, she's having her life. And I feel now the pain, you know, of being lonely. But it's difficult, Clement. Even if I go to church, people come there having their partners holding hands.
Yes.
Even if I go to places of fun because I'm a fun-loving person, I go there, I find people, you know.
Have you tried the dating apps, Lungi?
Yes, I've got young friends because I look very young and I feel young at heart. You know, I don't feel old. So they tried for me, but I'm getting what we call married men. I don't want a married.
Of course.
I really don't, you know. Not that in fact, even if we're not married, I want a serious relationship, you know, whereby a person is going to commit to me, you know.
And you don't think you're too picky, Lungi? maybe Lungi wants you to make 4 million a year, and maybe that's what makes the pool very small. How picky would you think you are? How strict do you think you are in just what you are looking for?
Of course, I do not want. Okay, maybe I am. I don't want a very old person because, as I said to you, I want a fun person who's.
Yeah.
A person who can joke, that I can joke with.
You
know, not a too serious person. I have to be authentic. I should not be afraid, you know, to tell a person what I'm feeling, you know.
And
some people, when you are too honest, they think there's something wrong.
I hear you, Lungi. No, I wish you the best. You sound like a really, really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. And I'm sure there's someone out there for you. So again, like Leah said, let's not put pressure on ourselves. Let's not put pressure on ourselves. Sometimes it's wait for it and it'll come. And if you feel you can still be happy, right, while you're not committing and, you know, you can have a partnership that is not necessarily committed, that's also okay. It's all about what's good and works for you, as Leah said. It's 11:30.
Relationship Talk on 7:02.
It's 25 minutes before 11 o'clock. I've gotten so many calls from some women who are asking to be hooked up with Jeffrey. Okay, let's continue this conversation. We are talking about finding love and navigating relationships in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s. It can be really tricky. So how do you navigate that? Leah Sefo is a relationship coach who's guiding us through this conversation. Let me take this quick call from Justice. And then, Leah, I want us to talk about what kind of information then do you reveal and at what stage, right? Even things like your kids, at what stage do you even introduce them? Because that's another aspect to consider. Justice in Pretoria, good morning.
Yes, hello. I'm at a stage where I want to connect again with someone, but I have so much apprehension. I was married to my wife for 30 years, and then she died from COVID.
Oh, sorry about that, Justice.
To get to the point where I can feel the same about someone else as I did with her almost sounds impossible at this stage, because we were two of us had disabilities, and we compensated for each other's disability.
Mm.
And to find that kind of, and she was my soulmate, Clement. You know, she was my soulmate, and I still cry for her at night. And to get to that point again with someone, it just seems too much hard slog, you know. At times I get lonely and I wish I had that companionship, but at the same time I feel now I'd rather just, you know, do the best I can on my own. I mean, I am financially independent. I have my own place where I live.
Yeah.
I am able to do things for myself. I don't need any kind of physical assistance or anything, even although I have a disability.
Mm.
And then the last thing I just want to mention is I would really appreciate Leah's opinion on this specifically, is to get into some other relationship with somebody, I would feel such betrayal to my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, how would I get over that? I would feel I'm betraying her in a sense.
Oh, justice. And you guys didn't have kids, yeah?
No, we didn't. Mm. No, we didn't have children. No, we didn't. No.
Okay, I'll get Leah to respond to that. And I'm sorry to hear about the passing on of your wife, Justice. I can tell just how much incredibly in love you were and you still are with her. Leah?
Oh, Justice, I'm really sorry. Mm. Just what a terrible loss. And after 30 years of marriage, it's just really heartbreaking. It just sounds like you're still quite deeply in grief, Justice. And I think that's a time you need to gift yourself right now is healing first, so that you don't feel like you're betraying your wife by looking for a new companion. So I hope that you are working with somebody in grief counseling to work through the loss that you've experienced. And to not have an expectation that you will ever find someone because like your wife, because you won't. You will never find that kind of love that took 30 years to develop and grow between you. So I just think take a lot of care of yourself in this grieving process. And, you know, we would always say that your parted partner would want you to be happy. They would want you to not be alone. They'd want you to find a companion that can be with you through your loneliness. And, you know, what would your parted wife say to you, you know, if she could say to you about moving on? But it's a very common thing that people feel guilty about moving on with a new partner when one has passed away. And that's just because you're still in the grief and you're still processing this loss in a really massive way.
Mm. Yeah. Justice, I hope that's helpful, eh?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
just
you
take
much.
Some time. Yeah, take that time. Thank you. Thank you for calling, Justice. Let's go to, before we go to Gwen and more of the voice notes, Leah, I wanted you to touch on, because when you are at that stage, late 30s, 40s, 50s and older, you may have kids, you may meet someone who's got kids. How do you then decide what you reveal and when? In other words, if I've got kids, at what point then do I introduce my kids to this partner? At what point do I want to be introduced to their kids? Should I be revealing, like, my house, my assets? So how much should you be revealing to this new person when you are at that stage? At what point, when is it the right time?
Look, I think you've got to be very upfront, like almost immediately, about having children so that they know. If you are going through a divorce, if you are separated, that's an important thing to know on the first date. Because if that connection is building, they actually need to know if you're available. You know, what is the collective, I hate the word baggage, but for, you know, everyone understands what I mean by that. You know, what are you coming into this with? So it's you can't be dating and not reveal that you have children until later on. That has to be known upfront. Once you've started dating, I think most people use 3 months as a timeline. You know, I don't want to stay stuck on that, because I think it's completely individual depending on the relationship, but not immediately. You can't introduce children to a new partner immediately if you are not sure, you know. So I think if maybe even six, you know, 3 to 6 months, depending how serious the two of you are, and that you know that you're committing to a future together and that there is a real commitment here, and there's predictability and there's certainty going forward, that is a time to then introduce your children. But these are such sensitive conversations that you need to have with your ex, with your ex. So the children's other parent has to be included in this conversation. And there's usually an agreement with couples when they've gotten divorced about this, about, you know, if we get new partners, how long until we can bring them into, you know, the relationship. So into meeting the kids. So I think it's a very personal conversation, but please don't rush it. Children take it quite hard when this happens too soon after a divorce. And please consider their emotional state before you bring a new partner in.
Yeah. Melo's mom on Twitter says, I was recently told that at my age, at 38, the only hope I have for finding love is dating a married man. Like, seriously, I know the dating pool is very shallow, but out there, but is it really that bad? Now we're being forced to share. That's what Miss Melo says on Twitter. Gwen in Pretoria, good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you?
Sharp. How's it?
Fine, thanks.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Clement. First time calling 702 as well and speaking to you.
Welcome.
So I was also one of those, you know, who was also hell-bent on marriage and finding soulmate and all these, you know, issues that we read about and that we hear from our parents. But I think at 37 and after a couple of failed relationships and, you know, two kids later, I just let go of all those expectations and, you know, just decided, you know, maybe there's nothing like that. And then, interestingly, later, like earlier this year in January, I went, you know, onto the apps, you know, friends who, you know, navigate you towards that direction. And I mentioned somebody, and he was also at that stage, you know, of he had also tried the marriage thing. It had failed. And he just decided, you know what, I'm just going to relax and just have fun. And we've been together for 6 months, Clement, and it's just beautiful. You know, there's no expectations. There's no talk of marriage. There's no, he's got kids. I've got kids. We are just having fun.
Yes.
And so wonderful.
And it's okay, right? And there's no pressure on anyone.
There's no pressure. There's no, you know, if there's no expectations, there's no pressure from both sides. There's no, we're just in this bubble.
You sound like you are in the bubble, Gwen. I mean, you're giggling all the way. Hey, Gumnandi. Thank you. Gumnandi. Thank you for calling, Gwen, in Pretoria. How do you get over that fear, Leah? The fear of the relationship not failing? Because the thing about being in that age group is you've dated. Well, for most people, you've dated. And now what you are hoping for is, I want someone who is going to be with me until the end of time. This is someone, this is the one, so to speak. And some people are fearful of, oh my God, what if this one doesn't work? And then I have to start all over again. So how do you get over that fear of the relationship failing?
You just, you really have to stay in the present with where you are. You can't control what is going to happen. And when you put too much expectation on needing to have somebody else in your life in order for you to feel happy, then you've got some work to do on your own sense of self-fulfillment. You know, when it becomes, you're only happy if somebody else is in my life, that is a problem. You know, you've got to live your life and be happy within yourself and have that self-fulfillment and have a very rich, diverse life with your friends and hobbies. That if you meet someone that's really wonderful, it's a wonderful addition to an already fantastic life. But if you are putting so much into that single person being your everything, then yeah, you're going to have a lot of fear that if that person leaves, all your happiness is going to go with them. So we come back to saying there's got to be balance across all areas of your life, that anyone you are dating is a part of your life. They are not your whole life. Otherwise, it just puts too much pressure on both of you to try and keep this thing going. And if you're stuck in that fear, it's dangerous because you're going to start letting unworkable or toxic behavior slide, because you'd rather have that than no one. You'd rather have that than risk losing the relationship. And this is where people compromise too much. So just keep your focus on the balance in your own life.
Yeah, it's 14 minutes before 12 o'clock. When we come back, I'm going to go back to your calls and more of your WhatsApp voice notes.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
It's going up to 10 minutes before 12 o'clock. Let's go to some of the WhatsApp voice notes first, and then we'll go back to the lines.
Morning, everyone. So I'm in my late 30s. How I'm navigating or doing this thing is I'm dating younger guys. Currently, I'm flirting with a guy who's single, who has no kids. I have one kid. I have a big responsibility at work. So I feel like there's no clash because he's got nothing to do. I've got many things to do, and I feel like I'm making more time for him. So I'm going younger. The more I get older, the younger I go. So that's how I'm doing it.
Okay.
Hi, Clement and your guest. So I'm calling in just to discuss the dating over a certain age. I'm turning 40 this year. I have been divorced for about 5 years and dating on and off. But, you know, I met someone this year and he completely changed my philosophy on dating. At first, you know, people kept saying, it's going to be so difficult for you to find someone. And I kept searching and putting out my intentions there, and nothing came back. But as soon as I stopped, I found someone who happens to be younger, making me a cougar, who then changed my philosophy on how I relate in relationships. It's honesty. It is pure intention, and we meet each other where we are. So it is possible, and I really, truly appreciate where I am currently.
Oh, that's wonderful. Leah, is there still judgment for women who are with younger, you know, partners, or men who are with younger partners, of course, within the legal limits and all of the people are consenting? Because sometimes, even today, when you are 50 and you are with a 30-year-old, even though that 30-year-old consents, but some people are like, oh, how can you do that?
I think it's becoming less of an issue. I think older generations had a huge issue about this, but I like that people are not hooked up on the age. You know, you're meeting a soul, you're meeting a being. It's not about their physical age. And the people in different age groups, you know, focus on different things, have different energy. It can bring a lot more variety into a relationship. So I think it's an important thing to, A, not get too obsessed about, I can only search for this age group on a dating app, or I'm only willing to meet somebody over this age. I think you're limiting yourself. And you could, and just because somebody's younger, it doesn't mean that they're immature. It doesn't mean that they don't have great life experience. So I think widen your kind of search, you know, to allow a lot of possibilities in. And if people judge it, so what? Really, again, stop worrying about what people think. They're not the ones looking for a relationship. You are. So be less specific. And I think people get very hooked up on a shopping list when they're looking for a relationship or looking for a new date. That the shopping list mentality is not workable. You're looking for a human being, and they're also going to come with all of their wounds and their stories and their stuff. And you're focusing so much on your own need that you're not paying attention to the fact that you also have to give to another human being. And what are their needs? So it's really contemplating what are both of you going to be getting out of this instead of only focusing on yourself.
Yeah. Dora in Soweto, good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Go ahead.
Yes, okay. I want to remain anonymous, Clement. Clement, you know what? I'm 52 years old, no? And then now it's so difficult to have a relationship. I've tried this dating site, but with dating site, I've just found that too many scams. One, and some men are married, and I don't want to marry a married man. No?
Yeah.
Okay, I never married. I was just disappointed by a fiance, and I called off the wedding.
Yeah.
And I stayed for 13 years without having a relationship because I was so disappointed and I didn't trust anyone. But now I just want to move on. It's not that there are no people that are approaching, but most of the time, I look younger than my age, and I'm not even 10%. So you are approached with this very young man, of which I'm not into men. At least if he is young, at least 5 years difference, not more than that.
Not more than that, no. Okay, good luck, Dora. By the way, Dora is not her real name. That's why she said she wants to be anonymous. Dora is not her real name. William in Lyndhurst, good morning.
Hi, bro. How are you?
Keshap, how are you, bro, William?
Keshap, good. But let me do a quick one. Yeah?
Mm.
I want to find that I'm a single parent with a daughter.
Mm.
Being with the daughter day in, day out. I've tried dating some of the people that would claim to be loving the daughter, and often they don't show it 100%. And some they just don't connect with the children. So I'm asking if Leah can advise me. Let's say you come into a relationship. Can you take your new...
William, I'm losing you. Sorry, repeat that question again.
Let's say you're getting into the new relationship.
Yeah.
And you see that these two people, your daughter and the new person in your life,
yeah,
they're not matching.
Mm.
So I wanted Leah to advise me. Can you take those people to a social worker or to a psychologist and try to get them to connect?
Yeah, no, I hear you, William. Good question. Thank you for listening. Thank you for asking that, Leah. Ooh, it's a tricky one, right? And it's tricky because sometimes as a parent, you're like, do I need the permission of my child? Like, must they approve of? Because that is not practical. Your child is not going to love, may not love who you love, and your lover may not love your child. So you've got to decide which one is a deal breaker here. So how do you deal with it?
Well, it completely depends on the age of the child. You know, if the child is still in your care and they're still in your home, your child is your priority. If they're still school going age, you know, that you can't ignore your child's feelings about this. And as hard as it is, you're the adult here. And then it's keeping your relationship separate from that if it is creating a massive problem. You can't force a new partner on a child that's living in a home with you where they are going to feel really upset. It's going to create friction every day. There's going to be fights every day. You're going to be caught in the middle, and it's going to end, you know, in a very bad way. And this is the biggest problem with bringing a new partner into when you've got young children. So, you know, the more you can get everybody on board here with the ex, you know, everybody's in agreement that there's no kind of the ex is now bitching with the kids about your new partner and now creates this divide. It's such a sensitive line. Yes, I think it's, you know, he said you take them to a therapist. I think that's a bit extreme in the beginning. I think it just depends how long has this person been with you? How long did you wait before introducing them to your children? Why, how did you introduce them to your children? Did you prepare your kids? Did you let them know? And also coming into a home, your new partner is not your child's parent.
Mm.
They are your partner.
Yeah.
And there have to be boundaries around how that new partner is going to parent your child or speak to your child or discipline your child. And that has to be in alignment with how you and your ex operate with that child. So if the child is under your care, under 18, still living in your home, they are your priority.
Okay.
And you have to find time outside of the home for a relationship.
Yeah. Leah Sefo, relationship coach. Thank you so much. You're always great at helping us understand these matters better. I hope to chat to you soon. Thank you for making time.